Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Indecision. Overthinking. Second-guessing every choice you make. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Beige on beige on beige. Ugh. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 45% site-wide. Rules and restrictions may apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
All right. Good morning on this Thursday morning. Mark Cox here. I've got, of course, Kim St. Ange, Carl Middleman in here. Sue Thomas will be along in a minute. Worst of your traffic problems were probably yesterday afternoon as those various storms moved through. And all of that is out of the way this morning. A little bit on the chilly side out there. Probably, what, 50 degrees? Something
like that? Yeah,
mid-50s. Yeah, not too bad. Not too bad at all. I guess we're going to get a lot of rain this weekend. I saw where there was, what, one fatality from the weather yesterday down near Potosi, I think is what I read.
So I had heard that on the radio this morning.
Yes.
One of the articles, because I look at, you know, different news outlets here in the St. Louis area information, and I hadn't seen that yet, so I was kind of scouring to see what I could get. But we do know there was a tornado in Potosi that did quite a bit of damage. There was also, in the Metro East, another... well, I shouldn't say a tornado, but significant damage, I guess, in Greenville, Illinois, and then in Madison County. A woman was thrown from her home in Greenville.
No, I had not seen that, but wow. I saw some of the video from, I guess, somewhere in our listening area where somebody had I think Channel 4 had the video of somebody had gathered a little bit of video of you, clearly a funnel cloud, and part of it was touching down on the ground. So I watched some of that coverage yesterday. Fortunately, none of it anywhere near the immediate metro area here, for sure, that I could see. But glad we got out of it without more damage, to be honest, after what rolled through. Those are the days when the meteorologists deserve the praise. I switched around from Channel 4 to Channel 2 and Channel 5 yesterday, watching the folks on there working hard to identify where those storms were. And I'll never forget this as long as I live. I was working at Channel 4, and we were in full weather storm mode, or whatever they called it back then. And I ended up answering the phone because the phone started ringing because the weather coverage was interrupting some sporting event. I can't remember what it was. But, you know, there was a tornado on the ground somewhere, and our meteorologists were on the air trying to save people, and people had the audacity to call in, and they said, "This doesn't affect me. It's nowhere near my house. I want to watch the sporting event." Mm-hmm. And I'm like, you do realize... you're being rather selfish here. They could be saving someone's life somewhere by warning them to get in a basement, and you're more worried about this sporting event you're missing I was mystified by it.
People always did that. It was even like a soap opera. Anything that was on that was interrupted, people got really angry about. And it, by the way, it's not just that the meteorologists care about saving lives. That's obviously the number one reason they're on there doing wall-to-wall coverage for hours on end in some cases. But the FCC requires it. If there is a tornado, an active tornado warning in any view part of the viewing area, they are required to do wall-to-wall coverage. It's not like they're like, you know what? Yeah, we'd like to do that. Let's go ahead.
Yeah.
They have to.
I get it that they use it to their advantage for marketing purposes.
Well, absolutely, because coverage, that's a key reason people tune in, but they are required to do that. There's a warning.
There's a requirement there. So hats off to the folks that spent several hours on the air yesterday trying to protect people, for sure. What'd you think about Liberation Day?
I listened to quite a bit of what Trump had to say, and, you know, I think what he put in place is more than fair. I'm looking at, you know, he has obviously the blanket 10%, but then some countries, depending on what they have in place to, you know, tariffs against us, there's an additional one. And it's like half of what many of the countries are implementing against us. So it seems more than reasonable.
We'll get into this a little more through the course of the morning. But the chart the president held up, I hope all the people who were critical of what the president is doing here took a moment to glance at this chart. Vietnam charges us a 90% tariff on U.S. goods that get imported to Vietnam. U.S. hit them with about a half of that, 45%. So the point being, you see what's going on here. If you look at some of the countries that charged us the highest tariff amounts, these are countries in the Asian Pacific, Indo-Pacific region, a lot of these, where Joe Biden and Barack Obama were over there ready to give away the farm to these countries with worker deals and trade deals tied to how they treat their workers and all this other stuff. It was like out of this guilt of some sort that if we're going to be buying products from you, you have to do business in a certain way and this sort of garbage. And then let them get away with charging 90% tariffs on goods we send over there. Why? Why were we on a worldwide apology tour for the last 75 years to let every country in the world take advantage of American companies and American taxpayers? Mm-hmm. It just makes no sense. You know, I'm not unaware of the political purity test. And people like Rand Paul, in that sense, I respect you. I didn't get into it. I commented on a post yesterday, and a guy direct messaged me and said, "You don't understand. I'm a libertarian. I'm a free market guy." And I'm like, "I'm a free market guy, but right now, there is no free market. This is not a free market. Don't act like we're holier than thou, and we're not just because we all believe in free markets. We just, out of the goodness of our heart, won't charge a tariff, despite the fact that the people we're trading with do. That's why there's such a trade imbalance in this world. And I think a lot of these left-leaning globalist leaders that have led this country up until now were okay with that. Because, we're the big, powerful USA. We can give away something to these countries whose economies aren't as big as ours and blah, blah. No. Why would we do that? Why? In addition to that, we're sending billions of dollars in aid through USAID to a lot of these same countries. Mm-hmm. I was completely fine with what Donald Trump did yesterday because it's a negotiating ploy. We've still got 3 or 4 days until these take effect. I think
Saturday,
some take effect
5th.
Saturday, mm-hmm. Some take effect Wednesday of next week. My guess is the phone at the State Department will be ringing off the hook with the leaders of these countries realizing the gravy train is over. Mm-hmm. And like, hey, if we lower our tariff by 25%, will you drop yours back to where it was? At which point Donald Trump can negotiate with them. I'm guessing this brings a lot of them, maybe not all of them, It'll bring a lot of them to the table, which was the point all along.
His number one thing yesterday was, it's time to put America first. Far too long, far too many administrations. It's been America second, and we're done with that.
MAGA,
it doesn't mean that we don't take care of other countries. I think you and I can both get on board with that. I believe that is important. But I would also say, taking care of our people, America needs to come first. And it's been ridiculous how we've been put on the back burner.
We have allowed politicians like Nancy Pelosi and Bernie Sanders to talk a big game while enriching themselves. And at the end of the day, what you find out is they don't give a hoot about you. They don't care. They don't care. This is going to bring saneness to our trade policy. That's it at the end of the day. I'm listening to some left-wing economist on with the Gordon Deal show this morning. Of course, he doesn't like this at all. This is going to hurt the economy. This is going to do this. This is nonsense. You're clearly a Trump hater. You just don't like it because you don't like Trump. And Robert Reich and all these left-wing people they've handed Nobel Prizes to over the years, all they are academic, pointy-headed academics. That's all they are. They're none of them have ever existed in real life. Even though Reich, at some point, was part of the Clinton administration, his policies were failures, is what they were. So good. This is being fixed. I like it. I've run over just a tad here, Carl. I tell you what we'll do. We will wait and get to our top stories when we come back here in just a couple of minutes. How about that? We'll run through those when we get back. And it is a Thursday this morning, Carl.
Yes.
Who's bringing us our national anthem?
The Blues play tonight against the Pittsburgh Penguins, or as Tricia would say, Penguins.
Penguins?
Penguins. And therefore, Jeremy Boyer is going to get a text in about 2 seconds.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. It's March, so Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this year. There's just nothing like betting in March. Breakdowns of every region and every game. From conference tournaments to the Final Horn, we'll have the picks and the plays on every single game. Cinderella spotlights, upset alerts, and some of that value for the last team standing. It's tourney time, so hunker down and bet the board with us. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Nice.
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
This is one of the most important days, in my opinion, in American history. It's our Declaration of Economic Independence.
Yes, indeed. You know, you got to give Donald Trump credit for consistency. As I played for you yesterday, he's been talking about this since the 1980s, when people were begging him to run for president back then. He said, listen, we're being taken advantage of by the world. And yesterday, he announced the end to that.
To have the new president turn on us out of nowhere, it's really a sense of apprehension and deep concern about our future as neighbors.
Oh, those Canadians are really worried this morning. That's a guy named Taylor Bachrock, who's a member of the Canadian Parliament. And he was in disbelief that the United States would dare to want them to reduce the tariffs they charge on U.S. products.
We support Donald Trump's policies on tariffs 100%. So, Mr. President, we can't thank you enough.
That's the Michigan United Auto Workers, because one of those tariffs will be on cars shipped into the United States to compete with American auto manufacturers.
Did you watch the interview?
Which interview? I don't know what you're talking
about. The one I just played
you from.
You're
yelling so much.
No, I can't, because I can't get a word in edgewise. I'm trying to ask you a question. That's my job.
There may be no U.S. senator more maddening to me than this Chris Coons character. He's a hard lefty. He's always gone the party line. He's always got the spin job going. And he gets on with Martha McCallum. He agrees to go on Fox. And then he filibusters her. with whatever his talking point is. He's like Dick Durbin. It doesn't matter what question you ask him. He's got his talking point, and that's what he's going to cover. And he could not, she couldn't, she's right, she couldn't get a word in edgewise. She was exasperated with him that he wouldn't let her ask a question on her own show. Listen, if you missed this, listen to just a little part of it. They're talking about tariffs and all this, and he's worried about Elon Musk and a tax on Social Security. Go to cut 13, Carl, please.
There are people whose names are on the rolls as having been born 150 or 200 years ago. They're not receiving Social Security payments. So the statement
that
there's all these people, Martha,
yeah.
I'm just repeating back to you what the Trump administration, acting Social Security administrator, has said about the percentage of fraud in Social Security.
So let me ask
part of why I'm alarmed about Elon Musk and Doge, and they're getting into the systems and they're getting the access to the individual information of millions of Americans, is that Elon Musk has made it clear he thinks Social Security is a Ponzi scheme. A Ponzi scheme is itself fraudulent, fake, criminal or illegal. I don't think Social Security is a Ponzi scheme.
Well, let me ask you something.
I think 70 million Americans depend on it for their principal source of income.
Right, but gee, that's too bad, because in 10 years,
let me ask you a question, Senator.
You've made a lot of points. Let me ask you something.
Like they've destroyed other agencies, I think is immoral.
She couldn't get a word in edgewise. Yeah. I don't know if I would call it a Ponzi scheme. I would call it a pyramid scheme. Right? Where everything is out of balance. And why Chris Coons was so mad about this, I don't know. It's not a hard concept to see that if not enough people pay into something, you can't continue to pay out of it. The system is going to fail at some point, is the point here. It needs to be corrected. And Martha McCallum was, she couldn't get a word in edgewise with this guy. She finally, as you heard there earlier, said, I'm sorry, I'm not yelling at you. I can't get a word in. It's my show. I want to ask you a question about these tariffs. And all he wanted to do was go on and on and on about Elon Musk. Did you see Kim, the local guy that got arrested in DePere for vandalizing the Tesla?
Yeah, Town and Country.
If it's the Town and Country one.
Yeah, the woman was out grocery shopping at a nice plaza. And yeah, the entire length of her Tesla, she said, was keyed.
Caught on surveillance.
What an idiot.
Somebody pointed out that I'm sure when they went to arrest him, he was like a 39-year-old Parkway High School graduate, Bernie Sanders supporter.
Don't hate on Parkway High School.
About 10 followers on Facebook. And the person that reported it on there said, the police showed up at his mom's house. She took them to his bedroom, basement bedroom, where he was playing video games as they arrested him.
He probably still had Cheeto dust on his fingers as they were putting him in cuffs.
Probably. What a complete idiot. What an idiot to not even go through the thought process that I'm going to go commit a crime. Let me pick the car that has more camera angles for its security cameras than any other vehicle in existence. And that's the one he chose to vandalize. So his face is all over the place when the police go to arrest him and see who did it. They've got him on camera doing the entire crime. I hope they turn this over to the feds and Pam Bondi says, we're not settling any of these cases. That would be fantastic. We're going to get to Kim on a Whim coming up.
Kim on a Whim.
Some pretty disturbing new details were just released yesterday about the Covenant school shooting in Nashville, Tennessee that happened, well, almost 2 years ago. I guess, you know what? We just did have the 2-year anniversary of this. I keep forgetting it's already April. March 27th, 2023. You'll remember that Audrey Hale went in there and opened fire. It was devastating because you had 6 people, including 3 children, who were shot and killed in that school shooting. And this 44-page summary the police just released gives some chilling new details, including the possible motive. They're saying there was no manifesto officially.
Oh, come on.
Officially.
There were multiple manifestos.
They found 16 notebooks that detailed some thoughts she was having, anger that was very obvious, and this very detailed plan that she had over a span of several years. And it was not just Covenant School that she had initially wanted to hit. It was other schools. She was obsessed with Columbine, and she wanted to basically emulate that. There were three major reasons, though, why police believe Audrey Hale targeted Covenant School. Listen to this.
There are three major reasons why Hale targeted the Covenant School on March 27th, 2023. One, it provided infamy, given that it was a private Christian school. Two, the kids and the teachers at the school wouldn't be able to put up much of a fight. And three, she had a connection to the school. She attended elementary school there for 4 years. This part's hard to stomach. Hale never remarked or wrote about being ostracized or bullied there. Police believe there was no specific reasons why she chose the victims at Covenant. Police say it was just that they were small children and it would increase her renown.
Doesn't that just gut you?
Who was that? Was that a reporter?
That was Jeremy Finley. I actually used to work with them.
Oh, okay.
That's my old station in Nashville. Yeah. It's the fact that she went after this school just because the children were the targets and they would be easy targets is just
this
mom hurts so bad.
Reeks of politics. It took them 2 years to accumulate a report that could have been written in 3 days. They have her man. It's just like, it's not unlike the Gateway shooting over here. Right, at the Gateway Performing Arts Center. Why did it take 2 years to turn that report out? There were no other shooters, which is what they determined here.
Correct.
Took them 2 years to determine there were no other shooters. They killed the only person with the gun who was there. It's ridiculous how long this took. What they tried to do here is massage this story to not be what it is. And I don't know anything about the politics in Nashville. Are they a bunch of hard lefties
Nashville, it's kind of like a lot of communities, including here in St. Louis, where the city itself is liberal. They have a liberal mayor, but then the outskirts of Nashville, they tend to be more conservative.
But the Metro Police Department is controlled by that liberal mayor.
Yes.
And here's my point on that. This is Michael Leahy, who's an editor apparently at the Nashville Star and has his own radio show in Nashville. He was astounded by what he read in this. Listen.
Yeah, and back to the issue of motive. It's interesting. I'm looking at this and I'm trying to, I'm not seeing any mention of the fact that she self-identified as a transgender male.
I noticed that as well, Michael. It seems as though I didn't want to make the condemnation until I could really do a control F and determine this verifiably. But it seems as though they completely ignored all mention of the killer's gender identity, which, if you've read even 5 pages of the killer's journal available at TennesseeStar.com, you have to be a crazy person to not mention that every other page, I'm a transgender. Nobody accepts me. I want to kill everybody because I'm a transgender and nobody accepts me.
Yet they drew the conclusion in this report that took 2 years to write. They never mentioned the word transgender in the entire report. It's outrageous.
If this whole issue of gender identity were not a factor in the shooting, we would have had the results, the summary, far earlier.
That had to be probably
the biggest. It says during the autopsy, it was determined that Hale was biologically female.
Yes.
This is what's really eerie to me. So September 14th, 2021, said that Audrey went to Covenant, said she was an alumni, asked for a tour, and was given that tour, and was going around taking videos and pictures of the individual rooms. Is that not just so creepy? Because obviously, that, you know, 2 years before this attack, she was clearly planning to do it and was making sure she had a good picture of the layout of the school.
As far back as 2017, they found all these other journals, as you mentioned, and yet they claimed that she didn't have a manifesto, number one. She had multiple manifestos. Maybe the most outrageous thing beyond not admitting that her transgender identity had something to do with this, they are in denial about the fact that she was in a mental health crisis.
Mm-hmm.
Listen to this Tom Patrick. He's the reporter for the Tennessee Star who read this entire report. Listen to this.
But a couple key takeaways. Metro Nashville says there is nobody else responsible for this incident. That was one of the reasons why it took over 2 years for this report to be concluded. But no mental health professionals, no one in the family, none of the people who sold her firearms are to be held responsible. They also determined that Audrey Elizabeth Hale was, in fact, a sane person at the time of her attack.
Oh my gosh.
Wait for
it. They revealed that she was considered for an intensive outpatient therapy program multiple times, at least twice, but that her parents, who were paying for her therapy for her 22 years of mental health treatment, simply could not afford such a program.
Well, I will say the mental health issue in our country needs some serious work because a lot of people struggle with that.
You're not saying if you shoot up an elementary school.
Well, right. She was fantasizing about killing all of these people. She was dreaming up attacking other schools.
Christians.
Christians, yes. There's no way you can convince me that you're sane if that's where your head's at.
I know a lot of police officers. I can't think of any of them that would buy into this. They had to have been forced at gunpoint to write a report like this. It's laughable when you look at what it contains. Everybody knows what happened there that day. She went to school there. She hated their Christian ideology. She identified as a boy, even though she was a biological girl. She was angry at society for not accepting that she was a man, even though she was a woman. And she took out her mental illness on these innocent children because she knew they couldn't fight back.
And that apparently she had no friends, that instead she confided in stuffed animals. It said she assigned them names, personalities, took them wherever she traveled.
But she was
a
sane person.
Totally fine. Yeah.
Oh, my
A lot
goodness.
Of anger. I mean, it's when you looked at the initial, I think it was a couple pages that were released, remember, initially several months ago. And even those were very dark.
Oh, yeah.
Some of the drawings on them.
The Tennessee Star has made available the original manifesto. The first one is available. You can go on there and they'll let you download the whole thing and you can look through the pages of doodlings, and it's a diary of a madman, with all due respect to Ozzy Osbourne. That's what this was. It's the diary of a mad woman is what it was. And for them to just take 2 years to try to whitewash this thing is unbelievable. I was gap-jawed as I was reading that story this morning, and I'm so glad that you brought it up, because you saw the same thing with the Gateway thing. The person that sold him the guns faced zero charges from the ATF, even though they clearly have laws against giving guns to people who shouldn't have them and who are mentally unstable. And they took the gun away, and his family gave it back to him.
Well, see, in this case, it sounds like the family and the therapist found out that Audrey had a gun and took it away, because it says in October 2020, Hale purchased a gun using federal student loan money, and again purchased another gun about a year later, not even a year later, a handful of months later, and then again those guns were taken away, so she went back and purchased more, and I guess that was what she ultimately used.
Wow.
The whole thing is just very odd.
She should have been committed to a mental institution, but her parents couldn't afford it. That's where the flaw is in our mental health situation in this country. They don't have, there's no teeth in the laws to get somebody committed when they're a clear threat to themselves or someone else. It's just not easy. It's not easy. I know this from personal experience of a family member that they tried to get committed for help, and they spent 8 hours waiting in a lobby for somebody to come out and just do an intake interview, and then they rejected it because they didn't have any beds. It was nuts.
Well, and doesn't the person who's being committed or potentially committed have to be willing? It's kind of like
how
if you're struggling with alcohol abuse, you can't be dragged into a facility and be forced to check
in. I think the court can do that to you, but your family members can't.
Right. So if you have someone who's just very concerned about your mental illness, they can't say, you need this, despite you telling me, no, I don't want to go, I'm fine. If they claim that, then right? There's nothing that really more that can be
insane.
Done?
It really is. I don't know. Thank you for bringing that story up, because I had seen that headline and I heard a little bit of that sound this morning myself. Wow. Hey, guess what? I told you so. The push is on again for Better Together, a new version of some sort of big regional government that would include not just St. Louis City and County, but outlying counties as well. St. Charles County, Jefferson County, they want to envelop it all as they chase wallets. And we're going to talk more about that in just a couple of minutes. Stay tuned.
This is your No Merger Minute.
That's sick. Those are corrupt bastards, Chris.
You need to get your head out of your butt, focus on the real issues.
But we have
to pass the bill so that you can find out what is in it.
How about new?
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's back, ladies and gentlemen. I warned you about this, I don't know, maybe a couple of weeks ago, before my vacation for sure. They are going to, as soon as Kara Spencer gets elected mayor in the city, because I don't think Tashara Jones is a big fan of this idea. She doesn't want her power diluted. They're going to start pushing for a regional merger to bail out the city of St. Louis. It's going to happen. It's coming. They're going to try to do an end run around the voters again and make it a statewide vote. Mark my words. There was a big article yesterday by Scott Faughn. He put that out. Of course, he does a TV show, and he's got a newspaper down in Jeff City. And he's talking specifically about the crime issue and how now that Kehoe has taken control of the city police, he needs to own this issue. Like, he owns it now. He's taken over control of the police. If crime doesn't go down, it doesn't reflect well on him. And his argument is Kehoe now needs to put some skin in the game and come here and walk the streets and prove that he's not afraid to go downtown and all this stuff to try to convince the public, because it's a perception issue at this point. Crime's been so bad in St. Louis for so long that whether or not it's true that walking from our station to Keener Plaza, you might risk your life, whether that's true or not, the perception is that it's true. I've walked that many times. I've only ever been threatened with a knife one time in this city as I've walked it over the years. There have been shootings two blocks from our radio station down here. So perception is reality. And the basic gist of what Faughn is arguing is that you've got to get, basically he's pushing for regional cooperation. You've got to get buy-in because the St. Louis economy, I'm not saying Faughn is pushing for a merger, but he said that you've got to get buy-in because the St. Louis economy is the engine of the Missouri economy. And people's issues with the city play into that, right? It hurts the economy of the whole area because people are afraid of coming downtown because of crime. So I see his argument there. I really do. So Brian Wabi, who I've had as a guest on this show many times, he used to be the leader of the Democratic Party in St. Louis for many years, and he's still an active voice, although he's not the leader of it anymore. He puts out an article that was actually a letter to the editor in the St. Louis Post. And then he comments on it because it's about better together. Every minute St. Louis waits for change is another minute we continue to lose population, power, and prestige. This is a chance to grow. All right. So my answer to him was, okay, Brian, 75 years of Democrat control of the city of St. Louis, 30 years of Democrat control in St. Louis County. So it's been 75 years since there was a Republican mayor in St. Louis, 30 years since there was a Republican county executive in St. Louis County. And now you see the only solution to all the problems your party has created is to combine the governments that have failed under one party control. What a disaster. No, thank you. Well, now suddenly the left in this town, Brian Wabi and the Democrats, they want you to set aside politics. Suddenly we need to set aside politics and look at what's best for the region. You own this. You fix your own problems first. I don't know how to get around that. Brian mentioned me in a comment yesterday after that Scott Faughn article, and he said, look at this. This is bipartisan. We need to throw off the partisan narrative and focus on reimagining St. Louis. And my response to him again was, the city ran off its tax base, and now they want to chase those wallets across the region. That's basically what's going on here. Kara Spencer spilled the beans. She said she wants even St. Charles County to chip in on the bailout. So you need to straighten out your own mess first. In case you missed it, this was in the St. Louis Business Journal, and not many people have heard this sound because it's behind a paywall. Listen to what Kara Spencer, the likely next mayor of St. Louis, had to say about the merger. Listen.
But I think it is absolutely necessary. We've been historically talking about a merger or a combination between the city and county, but I'm increasingly thinking that we could and should consider St. Charles and some of the surrounding areas in some meaningful way. That's not to say one giant government structure, but the broader St. Louis area, we have to figure out how we work better together.
There it is. That lady is probably going to get elected mayor next Tuesday in the city of St. Louis. Better Together is back. So just steel yourselves for it, and we'll keep you up to date as they move forward with their greedy plans, for sure. All right. All that and more coming up. We'll talk more about Liberation Day at about 6:20. Stay tuned.
Get more at 971talk.com.